as a people with one song, with one voice.
Which way Nigeria? Which way Nigeria? Which way to go?
Which way to go?
Nigeria, it's people who are here. Come on, God of a gem. Tori Kosi, Omi Roti, Amilo.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, celebrating Nigeria at 60 with historical nostalgic programs and music in the spirit of the diamond anniversary of our nation. From October till December 2020, keep on listening to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Alright, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we hope you've been enjoying our Diamond Day Nigeria broadcast, where we've been analyzing, taking a cursory look at our nation Nigeria in the last 60 years. And of course, we've been talking to quite a number of people, but you know what? We've not spoken to any female, no woman since morning. Are we gender sensitive? I don't know. Alright, right now, we do have a political stalwart with us, Mrs. Jumoke Ajashin Anifo Wushe. Good day, madam. How are you? Welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Good evening. I am good. Good evening.
All right, good evening. My name
is... Happy anniversary.
All right, happy diamond anniversary to you too, madam. My name is Toye Arulogun. I'm in the studios with Dr. Dele Sheteolu, and we've been analyzing Nigeria, the journey so far in the last term. How many hours since 10 a.m.? Yeah, it's been a marathon, really. Madam, you're welcome. So how's it been?
Well, we thank God we are here.
All right,
trying to survive.
Yes, I know. Of course, these are interesting times, especially in Odo State, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm not in Odo State. I'm in Lagos State.
I know you're in Lagos State. I know, but I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, madam. All right, okay. So this morning we woke up to Mr. President addressing the nation. What do you make of his speech?
Unfortunately, I didn't listen to the speech, so I don't have anything to say about it.
Okay, okay, fine, okay, but okay.
Maybe later on in the evening
you'll get
I
it.
Will.
Okay, all right. Okay, so, but of course, Nigeria at 60, you have an idea of what you think your personal assessment would be of this nation, the journey so far. Have we done well? Do we still have a long way to go? Or we're close to it?
Well, from the elite perspective, you know, they often refer to Nigerians as being very resilient people. And when people talk that way, it's like we've resigned ourselves to fate. In spite of all the scary headlines and breaking news in the electronic print and social media. The unsavory news items are enough worry, but then we sleep, wake up, hoping that conditions will get better. But 50 years on, it's like we are still stunted.
Wow.
Maybe indeed life is better for those at the ends of affairs, corridors of power. But nevertheless, we have to trudge on and be hopeful that the next 60 years, I don't think any one of us will still be around then.
Madam,
Nigeria will be better. Nigeria will be better for those who will be alive at that time. So for now, it's like what fella... is one of his songs that says, smiling and suffering.
Oui.
I think that is the state we are in the country.
All right, what a way to describe it. Suffering and smiling, that's what fella Nikulako says. All right, madam.
Yes.
Okay, how do you think, or how much well or better have the women folk fared, especially in politics and governance?
Well, when we compare the position of women in Nigeria, I think we have tried enough, but it is you men that has not given us the chance. Like I told some people some time ago, even in the UK, you know, the British colonized us. It took over 100 years before, you know, women became, you know, recognized in the UK. You know, you can imagine having the first female prime minister in 1999. Mm. That is Lady Margaret Thatcher. Yes. And it wasn't until 1960 that we kind of broke the glass ceiling, getting a woman in place of authority worldwide. That is Mrs. Vedra Naike of Ceylon, then now Sri Lanka. You know, she was the first woman to become head of state, prime minister, worldwide, just 1960. Mm. And that was the year we got our independence. So it's been, even in, as I said, in the UK, it took the women real fight, militancy, to be recognized before somebody like Mrs. Thatcher took over as prime minister. So here in Nigeria, I know a day will come when a woman will become a governor, a president, and what have you, because we already have women as ministers, as secretary to government, as commissioners, attorneys general, and so on and so forth. So I wouldn't say we have not tried. We have tried, but it's like the competition is very stiff because men have the means. Men support themselves. Mm. You know, their bodies, they kind of help each other. So, but women, I wouldn't know the reason. Even those of us, those women that are very rich, find it difficult to put down their money to support women who are yearning or who have the capacity and capability, you know, to become a governor, a member of House of Representatives, a senator. You can imagine in the whole of National Assembly, as at, I think as at today, in House of, House of Representatives, we have about 360 members. Then we just have 25 women. And the Senate, we have 109 members. We have 109 senators. We only have about nine or eight women in the Senate. So what can they do? What bills can they, you know, propose that will see the light of day with their minority, except they keep on begging and appealing to the men? You can imagine Senator Olujimi from Ekiti trying to, you know, propose a bill for gender equality. If her voice got drowned in the midst of over 100 men.
Wow.
So what do we do? So I want to say that even though we are trying, but it's in trickles. You know, it's in trickles. So the men will have to give us a chance. If the men don't give us a chance, then the women, we have to fight it out with the men so that we can make this thing 50-50.
That's correct.
Because at the end of the day, we are your mothers. We brought you up. And where do you want to... And why do you want to lord it over us, for heaven's sake? I think we should look at it from that perspective. Whatever you become today, the president of the country, the minister, the whatever, a woman nurtured you to that level. So by all means, I want to suggest through your media that Nigerian government should give women their place of, what do I call it now? You know, they should be given they should be properly recognized. I mean, because wherever women are placed, anywhere they have authority, they excel. We can talk about Okonjo-Iweala.
Yes.
We can talk about Mrs. Otter. I think she was interviewed today on from Oxford on a platform by Pastor Bojuro Oyemade.
Yes.
You know, a whole lot of our women, and the woman was in the SDG office before. She's now in the UN, I think, vice president. So I think wherever women happen to lead, wherever Nigerian women happen to lead, they lead well. And the world recognizes their contribution to whatever they are asked to do. So I want to say that it's not as if Nigerian women have not tried. It's not as if Nigerian women have not come out, you know, to participate in politics, but the masculinity, the male chauvinism, you know, is a barrier. So I want to suggest that there should be a law. In fact, women should come out in full force, which I'm sure they are doing now, that there should be a bill proposed for a 50-50.
Wow.
If during the primary elections, women are asked to queue behind women, and if the men like, they can queue behind that particular woman or women, you know, slugging it out with the men. The men can vote for whoever they like out of the aspirants. So when somebody imagines, if it's a woman, then you can all be on level playing field at the general election, but allow women to vote for their own, because men take advantage of our emotional attachment to them, and this emotional attachment is like debars women from voting for their own. Because at the end of the day, your husband can ask you to pack your things and leave the house because you didn't vote for that particular man. Your boyfriend can decide to leave you because you didn't vote for his male counterpart, and so on and so forth. So there should be a strong law so that this thing can be shared 50-50. And with women in position of authority, Nigeria will be a better place for all of us.
Madam. All right, like I said, I have Dr. Dele Shecholu here with me. He's a senior lecturer at Political Science Department, Lagos State University. And I'm sure he's been listening to you. He would have his own opinion. But let me just agree with you a little, madam, because I know that in politics, the women have a huge role to play. When they're going for rallies, it's all about women. Women, like they say in Yoruba, obirilon shoshelu, obirilon jakoshelidun, you know. So why shouldn't they be adequately compensated when it comes to elective positions or even appointments? So I tend to agree with you in that line. But I don't know, what's your opinion, Dr. Shetelu?
Good afternoon, ma. Or oh, good evening, madam.
Good evening.
Yes, ma. I listen to you with rough attention, and I'd like to make one or two points that might appear vexatious. Yes, ma. Maybe I should begin at this point. I appreciate our conceit that the women are underrepresented in politics and governance in Nigeria. I share the preference and the resolution of the Beijing Conference on greater participatory role for women. I suppose that affirmative action, you know, in terms of women representation in politics and governance arose within that context. But the question is the extent to which Nigeria has reflected affirmative action in political appointments. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Nigeria is far behind Kenya, for instance. But I'm told that more than 70% of ministerial appointees in the cabinet in Kenya are women. You know, and that's quite commendable. It's quite a milestone for Kenya in terms of women participation in politics. But I have one or two areas I might not agree with you, ma, with due respect, ma. One, I do not share the argument that women will necessarily perform better. Governance skill is not about sexuality, you know. It's about, you know, some other factors other than sexuality. We'll be more interested in the knowledge, capacity of such individual, you know, the experience, the expertise, the exposure, and so on and so forth. We should bear in mind that there are cultural limitations, you know, and the fact that Nigeria is a patrilinear society equally limits the capacity and capability of the women to engage in politics, you know. How many of the women are educated? How many of the women are exposed? How many of the women, you know, get the kind of education they require to engage at the most competitive level of politics? You know, about 62% of Nigerians are illiterate, you know, and I suppose 2/3 of the 62 are women and children, particularly female children in northern Nigeria. Okay, there are about 12.5 and 13 million Nigerian out of school children, you know, particularly northern Nigeria, and it does appear 1/3. You know, are females. So the you know, the point I'm making is the educational imbalance is such that will limit the capacity of the women.
But is that not the point, that it should start from that end?
Yes, well, it should. Yeah, yeah. I agree. But the point I'm making is that women may not necessarily perform better in governance by virtue of being women. So the point I'm making is we should rather be conversing that the state should better fund education, and that female children, the girl child, should have better access to educational facilities.
Right.
And that would mean that in the long run, we'll be equipping the female child for competitive advantage with the man.
All right.
You know?
Let's hear, madam.
Just a minute. Right. I'd like to respond to this other issue about slogging it out. Yes, I appreciate you mentioned that. Mother, with due respect, ma, this is power politics. And power politics is fought for, is contested for. We should not expect the men will concede that easily. I appreciate that there is affirmative action. But affirmative action is equally restrictive. And affirmative action is really respected in this part of the world. You know, women should, you know, build organizations. And you know, and collate resources, you know, to contest political power. I'm aware that there are different women organizations, but the women organizations are equally working across purposes. There's endless synergy among women groups, you know, and women are canvassing positions that are conflicting. And sometimes I get confused about what gender is and what feminism is. And with due respect, some of the time, these women activists canvass positions that are feminist and that will likely be resisted by men and not necessarily gender positions.
All right, thank you, Doctor. All right, Madam, we want to hear your response position.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Yes. Initially, I mentioned the capacity and capability of the women.
Yeah.
We have our women who are well-educated, who have the capacity and the capability to be in policy-making positions in any tier of government in Nigeria. We have enough educated women. Granted that many are not that educated, but we still have those of us that are educated. But still, there is this barrier. You know, there is this competition that the men are always eager, you know, to fight that woman, that woman who has tried to chest out, I want to become this, I want to become that. They will make sure that that particular woman is silenced. And in the process of silencing this woman, you will see that at the end of the day, they will come back again to appeal to that woman to come back to them. Let me give you an example. I was watching a TV program in the UK some years ago. Three women, elderly women, they were, or well, I don't know if they're still alive, politicians. So one of them gave a story of herself. She said she was in a contest with another male in their conservative party. And apparently, during election, during the contest, she won. She defeated this man. But then, because she didn't have other women, while the votes were being counted, there were no representative of us there. It was all male affair. A male was announced, and she didn't know. She just took it in her own stride. It was when a fight broke out between this man who was given that position and another male that this other one said, you know, if lady so-and-so that, you know, should have been in the position you are in, you didn't do well, you are still not doing well in that position. That was when this woman realized that the position she ought to be somebody else, because she's a woman, the position was given to somebody else. So in that instance, and these things occur day in, day out in Nigeria. So it's not a question of education now. It's a question of male chauvinism. It's a question of, I am a man. I must be in control. And who are you? You are a woman. You are this, you are that. You know, Nigerian men kind of, particularly in politics, look down on women. I don't know why. But I must commend Lagos State. Lagos State is crying. But other parts of the country, you know, it's like, it's not that, you know, happening. So I want to say, I don't agree with you that women are less educated. At least when your vice chancellor, Professor Olumide, left LASU, who took over from Professor Olumide, a woman, late Professor Jadesola Akonde, and she did very well. Ateneo was quite, you know, something to write home about. And we've had vice chancellors all over the country who are women.
Yeah, Alele Williams, the new one in Unilag.
You know, so many of them, I just don't want to start mentioning names. So education, we are well educated. look at the TV stations, look at the columnists in the papers. Many of them are women, and they are doing well. So for you to say we are not well educated, I disagree. For you to say that maybe we don't have the experience, I disagree. I mean, I have been the first female, if I am not wrong, the first female party chairman in Nigeria, and I know what I did. And today in my state, in Ondo State, my period, people still refer to that period as the best period for a progressive party in Ondo State.
All right, thank you, madam.
The man before me, state chairman, left a moribund party. The one after me, there was a wahala. So, and there is still wahala. Mm. So, I, as a female running a political party, I have performed better than any of the men before and after me. Mm. Go and make your findings. Mm. So I don't want to hear that women may not have the capacity or the capability. Of course, we do have. It's only because you men are jealous. And you are saying affirmative action. Affirmative action is just, they are saying, give the affirmative action, 30-35%. I have never subscribed to all these 35-30-30%. I subscribe to 50-50 affirmative action. Why should that be? Doctor.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you became a doctor, I'm sure you sucked your mommy's breath.
Now you are going emotional.
I'm not going emotional because that is the emotion that you use against us. That is the emotion that you use against us. And you say that we are working at cross purpose, and so we are not. We have Women for Women. We have Association of Women in Politics. We have so many. We synergize. There's a point. There's a way that we come together, to talk about being relegated in a party politics. BU, PDP, BU, APC, BU, SDP. We have where we talk about this, and we try and support, those who come out for elective position. And where you can help for appointive position, you make your voice, the educated ones, you try as much as possible to help. But as I said, it is the emotional attachment that our men play on, to disorganize us. You mentioned party politics, like a leader will say, what is not for position or power is not given a la carte. Mm-hmm. You have to fight for it. Of course, when you fight, and it's not given to you, you take your time and you try and, look for when they too will need you. I am at a stage now that they need me, and I will see whether they will not come crawling to beg me.
All right, thank you very much, madam. I see you are indeed a chief of the old block. I'm just on the internet looking at your face, and you truly look like that, our daddy, our papa, Pa Adekunle Ajase. I can see his face right on your face with this your gele. All right, thank you very much, ma'am. We appreciate your contribution. And I think the point you've made is very, very relevant and germane, because really there's underrepresentation. And I think Doc himself has agreed to that. It's just the way and manner or the method, of approach in making sure that we wrestle power from the men, or you become of equal status, is what we are having a discussion about. And I think you've done very well today. This Diamond Day Nigeria broadcast on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. I'm sure from time to time we'll call you again so that you can intervene on some of the issues around the Nigerian nation. Thank you very much, Mrs. Jumoke.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. God bless. Enjoy the rest of the celebrations.
Thank you.
We stand as a people with one song, with one voice.
Which way, Nigeria? Which way, Nigeria? Which way to go?
Which way to go?
Nigeria, it is for one. Come on, God of a chair. Tori Kosi Pomiro, Tia Milo.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, celebrating Nigeria at 60 with historical nostalgic programs and music in the spirit of the diamond anniversary of our nation. From October till December 2020, keep on listening to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
I'm in Nigeria, I'm in Nigeria.